Greetings again, brethren, worldwide, friends and brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well. If you need a title for this little short message, this mini sermonette, so to speak, it is, I guess I need to get my Bible here. Let the children come. Let the children come. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Mr. Armstrong touched on this yesterday in one of his in the message in the morning there. And actually, he's touched on it a couple of times, but he put a little more emphasis on the scripture yesterday. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, "The wolf," this is a millennial setting here, millennial prophecy, "the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." See, this is the world tomorrow. And this actually was is on the church seal and has been for many years, on the official church seal. So why does God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ here, this is his word, why does he put so much emphasis on that? Why did Mr. Armstrong put the emphasis on that? Why would Christ have a child lead in the world tomorrow, see? Well, let's look at that just briefly. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and we begin in verse 13. It says there that, "Then little children were brought to him," that was Jesus Christ, "that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me. Let them come to me.'" See, other translations says, "Forbid them not." Don't forbid them. Don't you dare forbid those children to come to me. In other words, he's saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. So as we look at some of the other accounts, you'll see there's a little bit more added to it. Turn back a chapter to Matthew chapter 18, and we'll notice something here. Beginning in verse 1, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" See, that was the question. Who's the greatest? You want to know who's going to be greatest in God's kingdom? Listen to this. "Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you,'" and that "you," we can all put our names there every time that you see that word, because he's talking to his people. "I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is, the greatest, this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So that's a powerful lesson there for us today. Verse 6 goes on to say, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." So there's a powerful lesson there for us. And as we see, Christ wants us to become childlike, all of us. But he also puts a lot of emphasis on children themselves. Notice Luke chapter 18. And we'll see where something else was added here, a little more clarity. It's not just little children. Luke chapter 18. And notice verse 15. It says here, "Then they also brought infants to him." See, even infants, newborns, infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." So basically the same thing, except there the difference is infants. So small children. And so many years ago, Mr. Armstrong placed in the church the specific doctrine of having the blessing of little children. And historically, back in the old days when the church was larger, it was done soon after the feast when people returned home. But in the early days of the church, it was done at the Feast of Tabernacles. In fact, we listened to a sermon last year, Dick Armstrong, at the last great day where they were bringing all the children there towards the end of the feast to do that, because people were scattered as the church was on the upswing with the was being built. So today that's what we do, because we're scattered and there's not the opportunity to come together as a family very often except at the feast. And so this is the time that we do that. And Mr. Armstrong placed that doctrine in, and it comes out of God's word, and it's specifically to ask protection upon our children. Notice 1 Corinthians. And there's something else that, in fact, the sermon today is going to be covering that with Mr. Armstrong, about our children being set apart or sanctified. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and notice verse 14. It says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy." And why is that? See, what that's saying, let's go back and look at that again. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. That means a wife in the church. So what this does, it helps to clarify also a doctrine, because other doctrines has to do with dating and marriage within the church, because we don't, as Mr. Armstrong taught, we don't date as we're first single. We don't date or marry outside of God's church, because we don't unequally yoke ourselves with those of this world. So what this is talking about is are people that have become converted, or one of the two have become converted, and as a result, if the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, if the wife is the one that's converted, and vice versa. And as long as, and of course, if you look before and after this, it talks about as long as they're pleased to dwell with each other. So that gets us to marriage aspects. But the point here is because of at least one of them are sanctified, then the children are holy, which means set apart. So that's a wonderful thing to know, to do and to know. So, and just finally, one little thing to look at before we do something else here. Look at Mark chapter 10, just for emphasis. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, it says again, Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. So you didn't see that in the other Gospels. He was displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Let them. And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." So there's a lesson for us as adults there, and as parents, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, with that childlike attitude, which means teachable, humble and teachable. So that's a lesson that we can dwell upon on and meditate on. But also, there was a very basic principle there, is, and Christ says, "Let them come to me." And so Mr. Armstrong instituted this many years ago, this blessing of the little children. And so at this time, for the sake of, because it is individual prayers, I will end the recording at this point for the internet. So that'll be the end of this message. And